Hey everyone, welcome back to the C3 SYD podcast. Today we're continuing our Road to the Cross series. Hope you've been enjoying it so far. I encourage you, go and listen to the previous ones if you haven't already. As we journey to the cross to Easter weekend, today we're joined by a special guest, so let's get into it. So Mitch, welcome back.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Good to have you again.
Yeah, always.
You were here for Christmas, now Easter, so you just get the big token weekend.
All the milestone moments. I love it.
So good. Well, today we are talking about very real emotions that Jesus, or not just emotions, circumstances that Jesus walked through in the theme of betrayal, injustice, and his silence amongst it. So he was wrongly accused. He faced trial. Mm-hmm. Huge things,
massive.
Quite public and humiliating, but he walked through it. So we're going to dive into that, which is
great. Here we go. Yeah, let's go.
So just to kick us off, in terms of betrayal, have you ever experienced that in your own life?
Totally. I think anyone who's human has probably felt some degree of betrayal, and obviously that's a strong word, it's a very loaded word, but I think if you break that down, the sense of being let down, of some of expectations not having been met, so I think that can happen on a massive scale, what we'd call betrayal, or injustice, but then that can happen daily in small moments, in our families, in our lives as well, in our friendships. And so I mean, for me personally, you know, I've been around long enough to have had some pretty big moments where I felt pretty let down, both relationally, in a personal kind of friendship context. There's been moments where I've definitely felt like, I was let down, and it hurts. It stings. It's got a sting in it, and it lingers. It's got a long tail. You know, I think sometimes we underestimate the effect that you know, these things have on us, but I think you realize, and you think time heals these things, and time
to a certain extent,
time can help, like you know, perspective helps, hindsight helps, but I think there's a long tail in some of these feelings, and if we don't always fully acknowledge them, they can you know, they can just stick around for a long time. Yeah. So on a friendship level, yes, but you know, obviously in a church context, in a in a team context, when you're working together on projects, on things, you know, and big things, like good things that we're all working together on, you know, particularly in our church setting. But you know, we can get let down by leaders, you know, and hashtag church hurt, big thing people talk about. Yeah. But I think we'd be crazy not to, you know, I think it's like we can be easy to dismiss this topic as, you know, church hurt is just for people who are, you know, complaining or, you know, and it's like,
oh, it's up to you if you take offense.
I mean, look, there's a slice of that that's obviously got truth to it. We, you know, we're responsible for our reactions and how we feel. But on the other side of that, there are moments where we do get let down by people in leadership, people who have authority, and that's a reality too, and something that definitely I've had moments of and experienced. So yeah, not easy.
No, it's not easy. I've had a few friendship breakdowns over the years, and as someone who's like, once I'm in, I'm in.
Yeah.
And then if that's betrayed, if that trust's broken, it's very hard to walk through and to extend forgiveness and grace like Jesus says to do. It's like,
totally.
Okay.
It's not easy. I mean, it's a nice sentiment, forgiveness, until we have to actually forgive someone, which, you know, is not an easy thing. But I think, you know, you look at, obviously we're talking about Easter and leading into Easter. This is the epicenter. This is like the critical moment that separates Christianity from everything else, is this moment where Jesus forgave.
Yeah.
And to the point where he said, you know, forgive them. They don't need, like, the perspective was they don't know what they're doing. And there's a sense of he's forgiving people before they even know they need forgiveness, which is a crazy thought.
It is. It is a very crazy thought. What do you think that Jesus's experience of betrayal like means for us?
It's big. I mean, he walked through different layers of betrayal. You know, I think even before he got to those final moments, there were different moments of betrayal. Like, there's a moment in scripture where he went to his hometown, and you know, he's performing these amazing miracles, and he gets to his hometown, and it says no one really like gave yeah. him the honor that
like, oh, Jesus down the street. Oh, he's just
that
guy.
And like they, you know, and this is that's a layer of being let down by the people that are meant to believe in you, have your back, honor, support.
Yeah.
And he actually was like he was kind of handcuffed spiritually because the people who should have been his biggest champions were actually his biggest critics.
Yeah.
And I wonder sometimes, particularly in Australian culture, if we get let down, not always by the big moments, but we get there's like this subtle, cynical let down that we don't support friends.
Tall poppy syndrome.
It's the tall poppy thing. People who we should be the biggest advocates for, and we don't support them the way maybe we could.
Yeah.
So that like there's moments like that all through Jesus' journey, but then he gets to the big moment where he literally gets betrayed by one of his 12 disciples, sold out for a bit of money, and literally led on a path to his crucifixion.
Yeah.
And he handled it pretty wild. I don't think any of us really could match the way Jesus handled this. Like, and we talk about it a bit, but you know, he says he stayed silent in the midst of like false for me, one of my biggest of my biggest gripes is I hate being misunderstood.
Totally.
And I think that's a human thing, right? We want to be understood. We want to be heard.
Yeah.
Jesus was falsely accused, literally, at every level. And to the point where he was put to death and he didn't defend. He could have.
Yeah. And I mean, even in the whole trial he went through, there's the point where the choice is given to the people of, do you want us to release this murderer who quite obviously has done horrible, horrible things?
Yeah.
Or this man who you're saying has like performed some miracles and stuff, and they're like,
yeah, just because he claims to be the son of God.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's wild, isn't it? And so I think Jesus had a choice in that moment. He could have, you know, for his own sake.
Yeah,
he could have defended. He could have called the whole army of angels down. Yeah. And you know, got himself off the cross.
Yeah,
within a flash, but he didn't. The Bible uses the language. He was like a lamb led to the slaughter. Like, that's wild imagery.
Slaughter
like,
is so
that's a strong word. I feel like I'm watching the movie 300, you know. Yeah. It's like it's hectic. But that was a moment because he saw a bigger objective, a bigger mission at mind.
Yeah.
For him, if he spoke up and defended himself, he'd be just thinking about his own will, you know. Yeah. And just before that, he'd prayed in the garden, not my will, but yours be done, Lord. So part of that was, I'm going to get through being misunderstood, being falsely accused for the sake of the mission I'm trying to accomplish.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
it is big. And you touched on it, the being silent thing, which totally, when we face injustices in our life, we just want to correct, protect our ego, defend ourselves. Yeah. Like, no, you've got it wrong. This is actually what happened, and kind of shift the blame.
Yeah.
But then also when stuff is our fault, we're also like, we know it's our fault. And we're still trying to deflect or like let ourselves off and not let ourselves be made to look bad.
Yeah.
And it's just totally not the example that he set.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. Okay. So this is my thinking around this. Yeah. So Jesus, he was silent before his accusers. He went to the cross. Now, I think this is a beautiful picture of how we can handle these moments. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's necessarily a prescriptive example of how we have to handle these moments.
No.
This is how Jesus needed to do it in order to accomplish his mission of going to the cross, of paying the penalty of sin, of going through death, burial, resurrection. This is what Jesus needed to do.
Yeah.
That doesn't, like, not everything Jesus did is a pattern for us. as in, he did it. Sometimes he does things
in those exact ways.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So sometimes he does things so that we don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great scripture in Ecclesiastes. It says, you know, it goes through the different seasons of life. There's a time to mourn. Mm-hmm. There's a time to sing. There's a time to weep. There's a time to dance.
Mm.
And one of them is there's a time to speak and there's a time to be silent.
Yeah.
And I think the key area of navigating hurt sometimes is understanding, when do I just, you know, swallow my pride and carry on and know that God is a God of justice. He's a God of redemption and reconciliation, and he will work things all together for good. It's not in us to control everything and try and orchestrate and explain and defend ourselves just for our own sake. Sometimes that can be the temptation. If I just But sometimes we do need to let go,
yeah.
be silent, allow God to speak and work on our behalf.
Yeah.
But in saying that, I do think also we shouldn't be, and I think Christians sometimes can be susceptible to being like emotional doormats where we get walked over.
Yeah.
And we just think, oh, well, we're all nice and loving and
yeah.
and therefore we kind of get become a bit of a pushover
yeah.
and we never defend ourselves. Mm-hmm. We never speak for truth. But, you know, scripture and Christ, his example is just as much about speaking up for the oppressed, mm-hmm. defending, being an advocate for people,
yeah.
being an advocate for truth. So I think it's a discernment thing.
Yeah, totally.
Is there a time to speak now yeah. or is it time to be silent?
Yeah, which I think also kind of relates to even just the difference between being a peacemaker and a peacekeeper.
Sure.
As yeah. well. Peacekeeper mm-hmm. will just... Mm-hmm. keep the peace.
Yes.
They'll stay silent where they need to or
that's right.
smooth things over, justify people's actions just to keep things smooth. Whereas a peacemaker will step in and make peace in that situation, which sometimes means
yeah.
speaking up, saying, hey, actually,
yeah.
like
confront things.
I'm going to correct yeah. this behavior. I'm going to correct this mm-hmm. mindset. And then other times, that yeah, it's the discernment thing.
It is a discernment thing.
And I think even looking at... So the obvious betrayal is Judas mm-hmm. handing him over like for some coins. Mm-hmm. But then also Peter.
Right.
In the same thing, like Jesus says, you're going to deny me mm-hmm. three times before the rooster crows.
Yeah.
And
yes.
And Peter's like, no, I won't.
Yeah.
No. Like, yeah. love you, Jesus. Never would do that.
Yeah.
And he does. But I heard this preach talking about it one time of the rooster crowing. And a rooster crowing signifies a new morning.
Sure.
New day, clean slate.
Sure.
And I can't remember which translation, which like gospel it is. I think it's potentially Luke. Mm. And it says when the rooster crows the third time, which obviously to Peter is, oh.
Yeah.
He said this would happen.
Yeah.
It says that Jesus looks straight at him.
Right.
Which you're just like, oh.
Yeah.
Gosh, like Peter's already realizing he's stuffed up. Then yes. Jesus looks straight at him. You can imagine he'd just be like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do? But again, Jesus doesn't like.
No.
Jesus could say, that's Peter. He's one of my followers. He's just denied me, but he's lying. Like,
right.
defend his ego. You're my follower. You're lying. Mm. Blah, blah, blah. He doesn't. Mm. He doesn't say anything. He just looks at him.
Mm.
And you can imagine, yep, Peter then goes off and he's like, oh, what have I done?
Right.
But then. When Jesus has been resurrected and he appears to the disciples, he redeems him. So he corrects him
yeah.
in private.
He does,
in front of the disciples so they can also see he's been redeemed in that moment. He says that the three times, do you love me, Peter? Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Great. Go feed my sheep. And just
that's
fully
right.
redeems him. But it's that discernment of this isn't going to help Peter if I publicly correct
sure.
him.
Exactly
I need
right.
to do this in a private moment.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's what justice, like the essence of justice is
yeah.
to make something right.
Yeah.
And we think making something right is like
mm-hmm.
for just making it right for me.
Yeah.
But not making things good, making things,
yeah.
repairing them to the way they should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so very much for our relationships, you know, a lot of the justice we want is self-serving.
Yeah.
And in society too, a lot of the justice we want is really like revenge or
this yeah.
emotional reaction. We
yeah,
want
yeah.
we want something to be appeased,
yeah.
not actually to truly make it right. And that to make it right is for everybody. And so I think for me in relationships, something that I've tried to learn and tried to at least model, you know, in all my relationships is realizing, look, yes, someone might've hurt me. Someone might have, you know, done something wrong or let me down, whatever it was. But I think acknowledging pretty quickly after that I equally have let people down.
Yeah.
I've equally not met expectations, probably
yeah.
you know, made mistakes and there's been maybe injustices or betrayals, if you want to use that word, of trust or all these sorts of
yeah.
things. And so I think acknowledging the tension that we are never just the victim.
Mm.
And I think that our human nature and society particularly,
yeah.
We have this tendency to always put ourselves as the victim. Like we're perfect
yeah.
and we've been let down and we demand justice. When actually I think the beautiful part about reconciliation is recognizing we are both at all times.
Mm.
We've been let down, but we've also let people down.
Mm-hmm.
And so just as much as we need to receive forgiveness, we need to give forgiveness. And so
totally.
It's this two-way street to get true justice.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And it takes such humility
totally.
To
yeah.
acknowledge that and then also not just acknowledge it, but then also be like, okay, do I need to now do anything about that? Is right. that something that I need to go to that person? Mm-hmm. Or do I just need to take this to God?
That's right.
And say, like, God, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm stuffed up. Like, and not just keep apologizing and still doing it, but allow yourself to be transformed and allow yourself to change and, yeah, be a better person.
Yeah, well, we grow and we transform. And, mm-hmm. and part of that growth is, yeah, obviously grace, but also mm-hmm. truth. And so it's this beautiful tension of, you know, yeah. Jesus came full of grace and truth. Mm. And so we need grace for yeah. our shortfallings, for yeah. when we made mistakes, but we need truth to grow mm. and to become the person that we've been called to be yeah. and to be the kind of people that we've been created to be as yeah. well.
Yeah, it's great. I think it's been a great episode.
Love it.
Yeah, nice little introduction to this weekend's service, which we'll be talking further on betrayal, injustice, silence, Jesus' humanity as we head on this road to the cross. So we encourage you, come and check out one of our services across Sydney. We have 4 locations. Head to c3syd.church to find the one near you. Come and have a visit. Come along to our Easter services. Hope to see you there. I'll see Mitch there.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Maybe we'll see you there.
Come on.
Thanks, Mitch, for coming on.
Thanks, Ben.
Been great. See you next time.